Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word. Please join us now as we hear a message from Pastor Toledo.
Amen. Let's open our Bibles now to 1 Peter chapter 5. Today's message is a part two. If you were not here last week, the title of the message was The Apron of Humility, and today is The Apron of Humility Part 2, and we've been mentioning how the principle of humility is one of the top five spiritual principles in the Word of God because of the way it impacts our lives. And what I want to do is I want to start out by just reading the hinge verses of this passage. Last week we addressed the verses a little bit previous to this. Now today we're going to go with the verses slightly after the two hinge verses. And I want to put them up and make a few comments about this, and then we'll focus on the main verses. But the Bible says here, it says, in the same way you younger people must submit yourselves to your elders. And all of you must put on the apron of humility to serve one another. For the scripture says, let's read this together. God resists the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Okay? God resists the proud, but shows favor to the humble. This is so important for us to understand that the nature of God is a very particular way, and God and pride don't mix. It's like oil and water. He resists the proud. The Bible says then in verse 6, humble yourselves then under God's mighty hand so that he will lift you up in his own good time. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand so that he will lift you up in his own good time. And so today we're once again focusing on this core principle that if you want to be blessed, if you want favor from heaven, you need to humble yourself. Now let me point out a couple of core principles, because I was thinking about this early this morning before I walked in. I felt something come over me. That happens from time to time. And sometimes I think about the fact that if you come to Tuesday night, the most important meeting of the week, as we say, if you come to Tuesday night, for the most part, we are together for about 3 hours a week. And for the most part, we're together for about 3 hours a week. And then all of the rest of the hours, you're out there living your lives, as you should be, out in the world, dealing with all the things that you have to deal with. And how important are these 3 hours? This hour and a half that we're going to spend together, how important that really is. It's so important that it's so weighty. It's such a weighty thing. Because today's topic is about not just humbling yourself, but it's about humility in light of the enemy of our souls. It's about humility in light of the fact that there's a spiritual being, his name is Satan, and he's out to destroy you. God has a plan for your life, but so does the devil. People say, oh, I don't believe in evil. Really? Well, just look around. You know, it's so funny how people are prone to blame God for evil, but not the devil. How many know God is good all the time? And all the time God is good. But there's an enemy of our soul. And so the world has certain perspectives, and the kingdom of God has its own perspectives, and it's important that we embrace the kingdom principles as opposed to worldly principles. So let me just say this very, very quickly before we get to the meat of the message here. Could you put the slides up? Okay, thank you. So in the world, humility is perceived as weakness, but in the kingdom, it is a sign of true strength. Okay, in the world, Humility is to be defenseless. And in the kingdom, it secures his protection. Humility actually secures the protection of God. In the world, humility is to become insignificant. But in the kingdom, it is the path to greatness. And so what we're talking about today is diametrically opposed to the spirit of this world, to the philosophies of this world. This is completely opposite. And yet, it is so true. In the kingdom of God, the way down is up, and the way up is down. So we're gonna take a couple of moments and really look at what the Bible is saying when it talks about putting on the apron of humility in regards to the enemy. Now, again, before we read the key text, we talked last week, actually brought an apron in, and I put an apron on, and I tied it. And when you think about the apron of humility, I want you to think of an apron, okay? And so when you put on an apron, one of the translations, the spirit of the word put on the apron of humility is clothe yourselves with humility. Okay, put it on, now you're ready to serve. Another facet of the word is to turn around and put the apron on and then tie the knot tight. Okay, now that word in some translations is gird, like tie it tight, prepare yourselves, get yourself ready. It's the same word that's used when it says put on the full armor of God, when you gird yourself with the belt of truth, or when you put on the breastplate of righteousness to fight spiritual battles. It's like you got to tie this truth on. This truth has to be tied on. You have to volunteer your will today. And what I'm praying today is that God would help us to volunteer our will to him, and that we would go his way and not our way. How many would agree that God's way is better? And the apron of humility becomes like armor that protects us when we deal with the enemy. And here's why. It's because when we get low before God, we come under the protection of God. When you get low before God, you're under his protection. When you stand up, you're on your own. And so with that said, let's jump to the rest of the verses here. Now it says, leave all your worries with him because he cares for you. Isn't it interesting that God has no cares except one care? Guess what his one care is? You. He has no cares. He created everything. He controls everything. He's in charge of everything. But the Bible does say that he cares for you. Regardless of where you find yourself today, let me tell you something. God cares for you. You are his care. It says, be alert, be on watch. Your enemy, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Be firm in your faith and resist him, because you know that other believers in all the world are going through the same kinds of suffering. Almost done. But after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, everyone say all grace. All grace belongs. God. Grace is God doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. He's the God of all grace, who calls you to share his eternal glory in union with Christ. This is why this is so important, is because the humble can have union with Christ. The proud creates separation from Christ. That's the way it is. Okay? Will himself perfect you and give you firmness, strength, and a sure foundation. To him be the power forever. Amen. And everyone said, amen. Blessed be the reading of the word of God. Now, what I want to do now is I want to pray for a moment. And I want to pray that God would help us to open our hearts. And here's why. One of the things that we deal with very often, but it seems like as of late, we've had a storm. As of late, even I've had someone that I've known very well for many years. Jess, because they didn't pay attention, because they didn't realize. They don't realize that the devil sniffs for pride. And it's all ruined. Their whole life is destroyed. The enemy has come. When the Bible says the enemy prowls around looking for whom he can devour, that word devour means one gulp. Everyone say one gulp. That's the plan. One gulp. And here's what it means. What it means is that the enemy, he's so slick. And he will circle your life, and he will tempt you, and he will play you, and he will trick you. And while he's tricking you, he's just leaving you alone. You think, hey, I got this under control. Everything's cool. He'll play you, until he's got you in a position where with one gulp, it's all over. All of our lives are ruined. One gulp. That's what we're talking about today. I could have titled this One Gulp, because that's the plan of the enemy. For young people, for old people. Someone once said that Satan will wait 15 years to spring a trap. We have to be wise. We need the grace of God. So could we just pray for a moment? Father, thank you for this day and for this time. And God, thank you for my precious brothers and sisters that are here. I thank you for visitors that are here. And Lord, we're so honored to be in your house. And we rejoice, God, in all of your blessings, and we're so grateful for your word. Your word shines light in a dark world. Your word shows us where to walk, oh God, and where it's safe. And so, Lord, would you give us hearts to receive your word today so that the steps, the choices, the places that we go are safe places. I pray that everyone here would live in the safe places that you've provided, that everyone here would experience the blessings that you have. And God, if there's anyone here that's in a battle and even in the grip of the enemy, I pray, God, that you would deliver all of us from every evil in the name of Jesus. So bless this word, Lord. There is no man who can accomplish these things, only the Holy Spirit. So Lord, would you help my feeble lips? Would you speak through me today to the people that you love so much? Bless our time together, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So this passage of Scripture is encouraging us, challenging us to humble ourselves before the enemy and stressful circumstances. Okay? In a nutshell, here's what it's saying. Humble yourself before the enemy and stressful circumstances. This is different from what the world says. This is a different approach, but this is the biblical approach, okay? So let's take a few moments and look at why. There are a number of things that humility does to bring amazing blessing on our lives. Here's the first one. First of all, humility frees us to throw off our worry. It says, leave all your worries with him because he cares for you. And what humility does is when we take on a humble posture, it liberates us to throw off our worry. Look at what a Puritan writer said, 1800s. He said, refusing to cast our cares upon God is one of the greatest signs of pride in the world. And choosing to trust him with our weights and burdens is one of the prime evidences of true humility. Worry is pride. Worry, everyone say that with me. Worry is pride. You know why it's pride? It's pride because you're saying, I am responsible for all of this. I have to handle this, and God is not going to help me. Okay? Worry is pride. See, humility says, God, I'm trusting you. God, you got financial problems? Say, God, you're the one who feeds me every day. That's why the Bible teaches us. Give us today our what? Our daily bread. Do you believe that? Do you believe that it's daily bread that God provides, just like when he rained down manna? Well, if you believe it, then how many know? You're not necessarily saying, oh, I got to get the daily bread. No, you say, God, give us this day our daily bread. See the difference? There's a difference between saying, I'm in charge, I got this, or God, I trust you, Lord God. I cast my cares upon you. This is a big deal. And the Bible talks about the fact that what this is teaching is that only when we are low can we give God the burdens we're carrying. Only when we're low. Okay? The heart must bend down to pass off our burdens to him. If you want to know, how do I give God my problems? Here's how you do it. Get down. Get down in your heart. Say, God, I can't, but I know you can. I'm weak, God, but I know you're strong. You know what the best example of this that I could think of is just like when we were doing KWA, my daughter had my grandson in here when they were working on the dragon. And that dragon was awesome. Whew, that dragon was amazing. And the head was like huge, you know, like this. And when he wasn't turned on, he was just like this. And the lights were not on his eyes. His eyes weren't glowing. And then the machine wasn't blowing smoke out of his mouth. He was just like this. I actually took Wesley. I walked him over. He was right here. And I touched him. And he was kind of like, he's like, yo, Grandpa, what's up with this? You know, it's like, he was like looking at it, but he was cool, right? So then we came over, and when they got it going, Susie, I was right with Susie, and Susie was holding him. And when they turned him on, and he started moving, and smoke was coming out of his mouth, and his eyes were glowing, and the whole deal, Wesley did like this. He saw the dragon, and he did like this. And he put his arms around my daughter. He put his head on her shoulder, and he just stayed there. He didn't flip out. He didn't go nuts, but here's what he said. Okay, here's the lesson he learned. And the Bible says, unless you become like a little child, you really can't flow and experience the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. Here's what he said. He said, you know what? I know that that's there, but I'm not going to focus on that. I'm just going to hold on to you, Mom. How many know God loves when we say, you, I got this problem, I got this, but I'm not going to focus on that, God. I'm just going to hold on to you, Lord. And I know if I hold on to you, you're going to take care of me. Instead of flipping out and going crazy and making all sorts of crazy decisions and running yourself into a bigger problem, why God says, just humble yourself under my mighty hand. Throw your arms and say, Father, I'm just going to hold on to you. You see? It says, cast your cares upon the Lord. When we panic, we make so many. Haven't you ever panicked and made a bad decision? Let me tell you, panic, worry, it just puts us in a deeper pit. But when we grab hold of God, how many know there's no pit so deep that the hand of the Lord can't just pull us right out? Can I get an amen? Come on, let's praise God, because he's the one who pulls us out of the pits. Hallelujah. Don't give in to worry. Cast your cares upon the Lord. But I'm in debt. Don't you understand? I'm in trouble. Let me tell you something. God can get you out of debt. God can get us out of any trouble. The Bible is filled with those stories. Whatever it is, we humble ourselves under his hand, and he's able to deliver us. It's incredible. Remember, low, how does God carry those burdens? When we get low, we could pass them to him. Say, I choose to trust you. Then secondly, this passage of Scripture speaks to us, and it teaches us that humility makes us alert and what I want to call rooted, makes us alert and rooted. It says, be alert, be on watch. Your enemy, the devil, roars around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Be firm in your faith, rooted in your faith. You can't be rooted in your faith when you're proud. When you get low, when you come down, it's like you get, your roots go down deep in God and you're under his protection. Humility makes us alert and rooted. Humility, listen, submits to the wisdom of being watchful and vigilant. Here's why, okay? It's because the pride cannot see what the humble eye can see. When someone is proud, listen, they can't see stuff that's coming. When you think you got it and when you're overconfident, when everything is in charge, you can't really see what the enemy is bringing. How many know pride cannot see what the humble eye can see? What the humble eye can see very, very clearly. The humble eye is able. Getting low is what gives us the best spiritual view. It's what I have here. Humility delivers us from self-confidence that says, I got this, I can handle this, when we really can't. We really can't handle it, but we think that we can handle it. And this is why so many people get into trouble. I want to ask you a question. Are you watchful? Are you alert? Do you realize what the enemy is planning for you? Do you realize that right now he's making moves, and the purpose of those moves are to bring incredible destruction to your life and to my life? You know the reason why people fall and cheat? Why do Christians commit adultery? You know why Christians commit adultery? You know why they fall into sin? It's because they're proud and confident and think that they can handle things that they can't handle. You see, the Bible gives us wisdom. The Bible says, be accountable. The Bible says, avoid the appearance of all evil. How many know? The Bible says, avoid even the appearance of all evil. So, for example, it's biblical wisdom to say, hey, if you're married, right, you don't go to lunch with someone of the opposite sex alone. You go with your wife or with no one, right? Right? It's different if you got a group of people going to lunch for business, that's fine, but no solos. You understand? It's just common sense. You don't get in a car if you're married with the opposite sex. You don't go to dinner. You don't say, wait a second, don't be trying to tell me how to live. I'm the man. I can handle my stuff. No, you can't. You can't. You can't handle it. No one can. You see, but pride says, are you kidding me? It's like, honey, where are you going? Honey, a wife says, honey, where are you going? I don't have to tell you. I'm the man of this house. I go wherever I want to go. Right? You know what that is? That's a big fool. Because the devil's going, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Here it comes. Here it comes. You see, there's a way. It's God's way. God's way is better than our way. You know, but people fall and they find themselves in messes. How many know as Christians, we're supposed to build fences around our lives? There's supposed to be one fence after the other. I tell guys all the time, especially businessmen, people who travel, build the fence, build the fence, build the fence. One of the greatest works of the Holy Spirit is the work of avoidance. The Holy Spirit will teach you how to avoid sin. How many know if you're not where the devil wants you to be, he can't get you? He can't get you. And that's why we're just talking right now. Let's just talk about the subject of adultery, right? That's why I encourage men, hey, listen, let your wife know how much you spend and where you spend it. Let your wife know, how many know it's good for people to have your password? Give everybody your password, except your bank account. Give everybody your password. Let everybody know. And say, honey, you check my computer anytime you want. You check my cell phone anytime you want. If you're one of those, I got to keep this secret. I'm telling you, he's coming for you. Don't you realize you're playing right into the hands of the devil? He's coming to destroy you. It's like, well, I got this secret cell phone. Let me tell you, he is the father of lies and secrets. When you say, I don't need that. Don't tell me how to live. Oh, how many decisions, how many situations have we seen? And it was just because someone didn't listen. The Bible says, submit to your elders. How many kids have fallen into a mess because they wouldn't listen to their parents? The Bible says, submit to your husbands. How many wives have hurt themselves and caused all kinds of stress because they wouldn't listen to their husbands? Oh, now he's messing with stuff. I'm going to go back there and just going to stay behind the curtain on that one, right? No, it's true. Everybody has to be under somebody, and everybody has to be under God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. He's prowling around. He's prowling around trying to destroy us. Look at what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22. It says, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Why do they keep going? You know why? Because they think they can handle things they can't handle. There are certain things we can't handle. But here's what's awesome. If you, here's the illustration. If you fence your life in, right? Even on your worst day. If you go to, for example, if you go to a drug program, they teach you halt, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. How many know when you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, you can make some really bad decisions? You ever go to a supermarket hungry? It's like you're broke for about 6 months because of what you spent in there. It wrecks your discernment. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. And when those things are coming upon you, I always encourage brothers, look, if you're on the edge, right, and you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, like this. But what if you're behind? What if you're behind 16 fences that you built in your life? You know? We need to go Brooklyn. You go to Brooklyn, right? Where I grew up, and it's nice now, but when I grew up, some people had like 12 locks. They're like click, 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 click. You know? It's like some people are trying, you're living your life with, it's not even one of those chains, it's like a string. You say, I don't tell me, I like to live on the edge. Let me tell you something, the edge is slippery. The edge is slippery. You get on the edge, guess what's gonna happen? You're gonna slip. That's the way it is. And meanwhile, the Lord loves us so much that he's saying, I got you covered. I want to protect you. But how many know, if you want God's protection, you got to get low. I say, honey, you're right. You're right, honey. You know, I'm going to listen to what you said. Teacher, you're right. Boss, you're right. You know, I'm going to get low. Do you know, in business, in war, how many have ever heard of Custer's Last Stand? Anyone? Custer is a famous, he's a famous general. And I thought that he was like some great hero. Listen to this. George Armstrong Custer was an American military commander who, despite his war accolades, will only be remembered for the battle at Little Bighorn in 1876. Also known as Custer's Last Stand. In 1876, the United States ordered an attack on the Lakota that involved three separate forces, one of which was led by Custer. But Custer and his men advanced more quickly than the other two units, and in a fatal display of brazen confidence, the general ordered his company of about 210 men to attack some 2,000 infuriated Sioux and Northern Cheyenne warriors. It was the biggest battlefield blunder Custer ever made, and of course, his last. Custer was determined to fight against the onrush of thousands of native warriors. All of his men were surrounded and killed. Now, here's the interesting thing. Prior to the battle, Brigadier General Alfred Terry had advised Custer to await the arrival of two additional cavalries and warned him not to engage the enemy with his small company. But Custer disregarded Terry's warning. Some people say it was Custer's pride and he was compelled to attack. Others have suggested that since the Democratic National Convention was to begin in 2 days, the news of victory would certainly boost his presidential ambitions. Nobody really knows why he did it, but we know it was some form of pride. And because he wouldn't listen, all of those people were hurt. just because he wouldn't listen. As I said earlier, every once in a while, we come across situations, circumstances. We beg people and say, look, you know, don't do that. You realize, if you know the word of God, you don't have to be some super prophet to be able to prophesy. All you need to know is the word of God. When people violate biblical principles, guess what? There's a crash coming. There's a crash coming. We're not stronger than the truth. How many know the truth is stronger than us? And so, God, give us hearts to come under and to listen and to not think that we're strong enough to tangle with the enemy. The enemy is smarter than we are. But how many know he's not smarter than God? Amen? No weapon formed against us shall prosper, the Bible says. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, the Bible says. It's not that we can't walk in victory. Yes, we can walk in victory, but we need humility. You see, humility is not really weakness. Humility is accessing the strength of God for all of our battles. I want to say this. Listen, humility is not really weakness. Humility is accessing the strength of God for our battles. If the singers could come, we're about to close now. The lower you get, the stronger you can be. It says in the Bible, finally, brothers, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Notice it doesn't say, be strong in your intelligence, in your cleverness, be strong in your education, be strong in your culture. You know, well, in my culture, we did it this way. I want to encourage you. Listen, when your culture clashes with Christ, how many know Christ over culture? Well, we didn't do it like that growing up. So, how many know when God points something out, sometimes it's time to change. It's time to change. We want to do this thing God's way so that we could be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. The power of God is great, but the power of God is great to them that get low. You know, it's funny when you look at this, and I'm not going to, well, this is the last thing I'll say on this. When you look at this, right, it puts a lot of decisions into perspective, puts a lot of choices. When you look at it this way, It just takes all of these complicated things, and they're not so complicated. If you just say, it doesn't matter what I want, God, just tell me what is wisdom. Show me how I can stay under your mighty hand. Let me tell you, things get real clear, real quick. And we just say, I just want to get low, God. I just want to get low. And then here's the last thing. And this is so important because there are people here right now that might be really in a season of suffering. Sometimes we go through seasons of suffering. We don't fully understand, but we know that God doesn't cheapen that. And here's what humility does. Humility enables us to be hopeful. The Bible says, but after you have suffered, everyone say suffered. For a little while. But after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who calls you to share his eternal glory in union with Christ, will himself perfect you and give you firmness, strength, and a sure foundation. To him be the power forever. Amen. You see, there are seasons, but when you get low, there's a supernatural transaction that takes place. When you say, God, you owe me. You know, how many know God doesn't owe us anything? When you get low, even in your suffering, you say, God, my heart is broken, but I love you. I trust you. I want to stay under you, God. There's an incredible grace that is transferred to our lives. There's a powerful thing that flows from the heart of God to us. It's a special kind of grace that makes us loyal to Christ and comforts us. Because we're saying, no, God, I trust you no matter what. I want to give you a quick story and then we'll end. When our church was about 3 years old, a woman came into the meeting one day. She's in her early 30s. Her name was Sarah Western, actually. And she came in and she was just looking for God. And I remember talking to her on a couple of occasions, and she was like, you know what? I've had it with playing church. She literally was like, I've had it with playing church. I need God. And praise God. Well, she was at our church, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. And she found out that she had cancer. And I remember speaking to her. She said, you know, Pastor Al, a lot of people, they always say, why me, God? Why me? Why me? She said, you know what I say? I say, why not me? Why should someone else get the bad deal and not me? And you know what? What if God wants to use this to be my doorway, my ticket to get me to heaven? I'm not living for now anyway. You know what I'm living for? I'm living for the day that I see him face to face. It's amazing. She said, to be honest with you, she says, be honest with you, the only thing that I regret, I'm ready to go home, the only thing that I regret is that I didn't get married. You know, I really did want to get married. And, but hey, what am I going to do? Well, she happened to be dating a guy at that time when she discovered it. And guess what? He married her. And even that, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Even that he gave to her. And I remember the grace that was on her all the way through. She eventually passed, but she went into heaven like in such a gracious way. And the Bible says in due time, he will lift you up. Well, let's go to the extreme, all right? We chose the extreme picture of that. In due time, he will lift you up. Well, guess what? Guess what? The minute she breathed her last breath, how many know she was carried, she was ushered in by the angels into the presence of the glorious, marvelous, wonderful Father? Hallelujah. No more tears, no more pain. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I guarantee you, if we'd have said, Sarah, come back, she would say, oh no, I ain't going back down there. This is up here is where it's at. How many know that's where it's at? And we're gonna be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I know that when you're suffering, it's hard. But Jesus suffered too. And he's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. And if you'll get low, he will comfort you. He will comfort you. We're going to pray. You know, we're going to pray. Because, you know, some people, the enemy is trying to get you to curse God. And say, God, I hate you. Or God, you did this to me. You did that to me. Humility says, God, I trust you. God, I love you. God, it'll just be a little while longer. God has reasons why he allows us to go through things. You know, I know Shelly wouldn't mind me saying this. Shelly, my assistant, Shelly lost her mom when she was 12, 21. And she was in London a couple weeks ago, and a guy came up to her. She was talking about the Lord. God came up. I'm an atheist. I don't believe that because I lost all these people. My father just died of cancer. How could God do that? How could you, he said, how could you be joyful? It's interesting, the way he started conversation. He says, I've never seen someone so joyful as you. How could you be so joyful? Look at all the evil in this world. And she said, you know, can I tell you something? When my mom died, I kind of asked God all of those questions too. But then she opened up to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 or 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where God says that he is the God of all comfort. And he comforts us in our trials and in our difficulties so that we could comfort others with the comfort that we ourselves have received. You know what she said to him? She said to him, even standing here talking to you shows the faithfulness of God. Because maybe I went through that to tell you God has healed my broken heart. God has helped me. God has filled me with joy, as you see. And I want to comfort you with the same comfort that God gave me. Maybe I went all of that through all of that stuff so I could talk to you and so that you could know that Jesus loves you and that Jesus wants to heal you and Jesus wants to bless you. And he was like, oh. And he took the Bible. He took the Bible. God does not have you suffer just for nothing. He will use it for his glory. And on that day, how many know we are appointed to joy unspeakable and full of glory? Could we praise God because we know he's going to do that for us? Hallelujah! 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 You know what? I want us to pray. I want us to pray, God, be the king of my heart. God, I want to be under your control. I want to be under your mighty hand. Could you just, come on, let's take a few moments and let's just begin to pray. Be our king today, God. Be the king, God. Put your hand over our families, God. Put your hand over our marriages, over our relationships, over our careers. We come under, God. Be our king. Reign over our career. Reign over our wallets. Reign over our hobbies. Reign over our friendships, God. God, I pray that you would keep us off the edge because the edge is slippery, oh Lord. Keep us behind the walls and the fences that you want to provide, oh God. Help us, Lord. Help us, God. Hallelujah. Take the hand of the person next to you, and here's how we're going to close. We're just going to pray. We're going to ask God to deliver us from evil, to protect us, and to lift us up in due time. We're going to ask God that as we put on the apron of humility, that he would foil, that he would spoil every plan of the enemy. You don't know the battle that the person whose hand you're holding right now, they might be going through, but God does. But let's pray. Come on, pray to the left and pray to the right, that God would strengthen them, that God would comfort them, that God would deliver them, that God would keep them low. Come on, everyone, open your mouth and pray to the left and to your right. Hallelujah. We pray for your protection, God. We pray for your deliverance, oh God. We pray, God, for your grace to rush in the hour of temptation, oh God. God, we ask that things that are unholy, that they would be severed, oh God. We ask that you would get people off the edge today, oh God. Oh God, step in, oh God. Deliver us from every evil, oh God. We pray for comfort for those that are suffering, oh God. God, we ask for the due time to come soon, oh God. Because you said in due time you would lift us up. Let that due time come quickly today, we pray. Lift up your people. Give them victory, oh God. May your blessing, your favor, your protection, let all of those things, God, blanket every life, every home. We thank you, God, that your word is true, and what you say in your word, oh God, you back up. And so we know that if we come under you, you will take care of us and bless us. And we thank you for that blessing upon every person here in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Could we clap to God? Come on, let's give him a hand of praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, we thank you. Amen. Amen. Come on, turn and greet one another before you go. God bless you, everyone.